It's a quiet afternoon at the intersection of Mount and Presbury Streets. It's sunny and warm. Neighbors are out on their stoops. Someone's washing a car. A couple strolls down the sidewalk holding hands. There is an odd serenity here at this corner today, this same corner where on April 12th, Freddie Gray was infamously hauled into the back of a police van, this corner where 2 weeks later, thousands gathered to hold a candlelight vigil to mark Freddie Gray's death in police custody. Then came the riot, the National Guard, the curfew, the end of the curfew. And now, well, now what? That's the question that looms over this intersection and the neighborhood around it, the blocks of formstone row houses to the north and the red brick barracks of the Gilmore Homes project to the south. There's an empty lot here on this corner where a Baltimore street artist is trying to help answer that question, the question of now what. The vacant lot runs up against a big cement wall. It's the side of a row house. And Justin Nethercutt, a.k.a. Nether, is up on an aluminum ladder with a spray can and a paint roller. He's doing the bidding of the neighborhood, painting a mural to commemorate Freddie Gray and the movement that's been sparked by his death. Cars honk when they roll past. People on the sidewalk give Nether their compliments and their encouragement. Most folks stop and snap a picture on their phone.
Yes, I love it. Beautiful. Thank you so much. That was really, really nice. And it looks so good.
The mural is a triptych, three panels. On the left, an homage to Selma, 1965. Martin Luther King Jr. walking side by side with Coretta Scott King, Rosa Parks, and Thurgood Marshall. Over on the right panel, another line of marchers, current day and here in Baltimore. And in the middle, the face of Freddie Gray, two stories tall, with an expression that's somewhere between doubt and surprise.
This is you, right?
That's me right here.
All right,
that's you right here.
This is Jameer. That's her right there. Right. Nah, that's Jameer.
Freddie Gray's friends are hanging out today, and they're watching Nether's progress on the mural. They pore over his reference photos to see who else's face is ending up on the wall in the line of Baltimore marchers.
Nah, that's Hershey right there.
That's not because Hershey got plaques.
That is Hershey.
That's Hershey face.
That is Hershey over my shoulder. That is Hershey between me and,
I mean,
right
there. I could squeeze.
Don't squeeze me, I'm fine.
They got room, but.
Nether, the street artist, reached out to Gray's family, and they came up with the design together. He says, as an artist, he felt compelled to respond to the hurt in his hometown.
I mean, I've lived in this city my whole life, and, like, this was kind of the moment that made my head hurt the most and think the most and everything. And I just, it's really been great coming out here and being able to paint this.
How long have you been down here now?
I've been talking to people like a lot and kind of doing it in a relaxed way. And as you just saw, like, I mean, like it's kind of a, it's still unraveling a lot of it, you know, and originally it was just Freddie, you know, and then the concepts developed from there. That's been one of the cool things about it and one of my favorite ways to paint. So I'm just, since this mural is really important to me and a lot of the people around here, I'm kind of like just facilitating it with my paintbrush, you know, like the conversation as it develops, you know.
Tell me what those conversations have been like.
I mean, I'm really sitting up on the ladder the whole time and just like receiving stories from other people coming up, telling me about Freddie, just some random facts, like last time they saw him, you know, just really fleshing out to me who he was and everything. And just, you know, constantly being around his best friends, you know, who have really made this mural come to be. It's been really powerful because, I mean, on multiple occasions, people have turned to me and just be, you know, like, if Freddie was still with us, he'd be here right now, standing right here, or like sitting on this ledge at the Gilmore Homes. Or it's just like, you know, this, everything that happened here with Freddie, with the movement here in Baltimore, with everything that happened at Pennsylvania North, like everything that's happened has made the whole city really feel, you know, like it's really hit us in the heart, you know. And everything that happened at Pennsylvania North that one night, you know, how much like that hurt everybody's heart, you know. You really see people taking that negative energy created through that and then reversing it times 10 in the other direction to, you know, really bring out the positives in a neighborhood. And that's really been beautiful. I mean, I'm like, it feels really great in West Baltimore right now.
I wonder if you might expand on that solidarity of feeling and maybe just comment on one obvious fact, which is that you're a white artist.
Yeah.
I wonder how race has played into the dynamics of this project. It's not the first you know, West Baltimore mural you've done. But yeah, it's a pretty politically charged one, obviously.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's really, I mean, we had, like, some Puerto Rican and Latino artists, like, work on this other one a block away. And, like, you know, I was standing here with, you know, Brandon, who's black, me, who's white, and this other guy is Latino, and like we're just talking about one Baltimore here, you know, and like we're all come from different backgrounds, different everything, you know, have probably seen a whole different side of life, but there's like the media's kind of portrayed that there's all this like race tension in Baltimore, and I think that's absolute bullshit. Like it really is. Like you know, I mean, of course, like, you know, I'll get somebody like yell at me, white boy, or something, you know, when I'm painting. But, you know, that has not happened here. And, you know, everybody is, like, I have people come up to me all day while I'm painting and saying, like, hey, I just came to this neighborhood just to help out. Do you know any way I could help out around here? You know, and I just, like, direct him and whoever the last person I saw, who knows what's up is, you know. But, I mean, it's just, like, it's really not like that.
It's interesting. I'm just remembering now the last time I spoke with you and visited you at a mural. It was a mural of a woman who was holding up crossed fingers, like in a sign of hope and good luck.
Yeah.
And I remember when you and I spoke, you had a real kind of mellow, relaxed attitude, and you sound a little bit like a different person. I can tell that there's a lot going through you right now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is a man that was slain. Whether that was intentionally or whatever, or I don't know, but the fact of the matter is there's a dead kid that's my exact age, you know, in West Baltimore, and I'm painting a mural about him.
You heard Nether make mention of a guy a minute ago, Brandon. He's talking about Brandon Ross, who's been spearheading the mural project.
My name is Brandon, Freddie's god brother and one of his closest friends, and we are right here on Mount Street at the intersection of Mount and Presbury at the mural that Nether's 410 is currently putting up for Freddie.
Brandon, someone told me a quote last week from a poet, Sonia Sanchez. She says, anger ignites, but it doesn't sustain. What do you think needs to happen for this movement to be sustained?
You know, for us, the family, friends, and the community, keep doing things that we're doing, bringing the community together, keeping awareness up on the justice movement for Freddie. You know, just keep doing what we're doing. This is the beginning of a long fight. We took a few baby steps, but we got a lot more steps to do.
If you could talk to the mayor, Stephanie Rawlings Blake, what would you say to her?
It's time to step up to the plate and take on the job that you signed on to take upon. And not just in certain geographical areas, the whole city.
What would you say if you had a chance to talk to Police Commissioner Anthony Batts?
Nothing. I don't have nothing to say to him.
What would you say to the rest of the citizens of Baltimore right now?
First, thank you for all the time and support that they gave the family and friends and the community and this movement, and that we, you know, keep fighting, how you said earlier, sustain the movement, you know, and make change. You know, this Baltimore have the camera on them, have the microphone on them. We have the listening ear right now. Let's make change.
What would you say if you had a chance to speak with Freddie again?
That, you know, he was the chosen one. You know, we don't write this book that we call life. You know, he was the chosen one. You know, it's good to see the communities and the cities and, you know, the peoples coming together. I mean, it just sucks that it had to be Freddie, you know, my friend, our family member.
We're standing here on the corner of Mount and Presbury Street and looking at this mural of Freddie. I mean, what goes through your heart when you look at this wall right now?
Mixed emotions. Something, you know, I can smile, something to look at, look back on the times that we just went through after the situation. And, you know, also, you know, get sad about it because he's not around.
What do you think this mural is going to mean 6 months from now, or a year from now, or 5 years from now, once, you know, history kind of separates us from this a little bit?
It's going to mean a lot. Like, you know, it's going to mean a lot. You know, it's going to be a tourist attraction for some people. You know, it's going to be a place to grieve for some people. You know, it's going to be a place to celebrate for some people. You know, it's going to mean a lot. That's why it's so important to us, and that's why we trying to make this, you know, the best that we can, you know, do our best job on it.
Brandon, I appreciate you taking the time to talk, and, you know, my thoughts are with you. Sorry about your loss.
Thank you.
You're tuned to The Signal. I'm Aaron Henkin. We're broadcasting this week from the intersection of Mount and Presbury Streets. It's the corner where the late Freddie Gray was taken into police custody on April 12th, and where this week painting is underway on a mural to commemorate his death and the movement for justice it's inspired. It's a big mural, two stories high, and the full length of an east-facing row house wall. The row house, by the way, belongs to this man, 74-year-old Calvin Perry.
We were asked if it would be okay to put a mural on the wall for Freddie, and my fiance and I both agreed that it was for a good cause, and we were proud to do this. I think that it would serve as a reminder to the community and to the youth that are around here just how far this has gone in this community, and something has to be done. The harassment by the police and also by the youth who taunt the police and doing whatever they're doing. Something has to be done. These kids don't have anything, nowhere to play. A lot of them don't even eat until they get to school. I mean, these mothers are here and they're probably doing their best. And a lot of the fathers are incarcerated because these areas are like hunting grounds for the police to fill up those penal institutions. This is what's going on. That's how they're coming here, in droves, and they're looking for somebody to arrest.
I wonder what you would have to say to the police commissioner, Anthony Batts, if he were listening to this radio program right now.
Well, I wouldn't have too much to say, because to me, he's arrogant. He came here, and his first statement when he was on TV was that we're going to get all the repeat offenders off the street. It was nothing said about we're going to try to improve relationships and set some programs up to keep from the recidivism of repeat offenders going back into the penitentiary. No, it was coming. I'm coming in here, and I'm going to arrest all repeat offenders and get them off the street. That was his statement.
Harold Perry, here on the corner of Presbury and Monroe Street. Any final philosophical words of wisdom for the rest of Baltimore who's listening?
Yeah. Stay strong, be peaceful, and let's hope that we get a better result out of this than the rest of the country has.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Glad to meet you.
Same.
My name is Eric Rimes. I live on right there on Fulton Street, 1500 block of Fulton. My reactions to this is phenomenal. It's breathtaking. And it actually is kind of, I don't know, it's surreal, actually, to see my friend's face, you know, that I used to see every day. You know, to see my friend's face on the wall now. It's just a loss for words, actually. It's kind of scary. It is.
It must be you said it yourself, the word surreal, to have a buddy. Freddie Gray was a friend of yours in the neighborhood, yeah, who now becomes this, like, international symbol, right?
Right. He would have never knew, he would have never thought that his face would be the face for across the nation for police brutality. But I guess it had to be somebody. And, you know, Baltimore City is different anyway. We're a strong, small city, and everyone here is unique. We're not a followers. We don't follow other cities. We basically pretty much lead our own self. We're a city full of leaders. And so for it to come from here, it's surreal. Like, and for it to be someone that I got to know in my lifetime and, you know, be able to brush shoulders with, it's surreal.
Tell me about how you're feeling about the weeks, months, years ahead now on the heels of this past couple of weeks in Baltimore. Do you feel optimistic, more pessimistic? I mean, is anything going to change?
pretty much is probably not going to change. It's going to take time. It's not going to be something that's going to happen in a few months or maybe a couple years. It's going to take time. But at least it's more brought to the light now. It's not all brushed under the rug. So now that people can be, or the officers can be exposed for the stuff that they're doing, I guess they're going to maybe think twice before they try to, you know, do some type of foul play again.
Can you even imagine, like, a point in the future where folks in this neighborhood could have, like, a healthy relationship with the police? Is that even possible to imagine?
No, that's impossible. That probably would never happen. It's too many years of bruised and battered relationships. The wounds are too deep for that. So I don't know. I don't see that in my lifetime.
Eric Rimes here on the corner of Mount and Presbury Street. Any parting words for the rest of Baltimore, your fellow citizens, as we look ahead toward the hope of one Baltimore?
All I can say is that hopefully we could learn from this experience and it'll help us to grow and better ourselves as a community, because it's going to start with us. We got to work from the outside in. Even though all the reporters, at the end of the day, all the reporters, everyone's going to be gone, we still going to have to live here and sleep here and breathe this air. So I guess all I can say is just try to keep it clean and try to make it better for the people that's coming behind us.
I'm really glad to meet you. Thanks for taking the time to talk. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
It's The Signal. I'm Aaron Henkin. And if you're just tuning in, we're on the corner of Mount and Presbury Streets in West Baltimore, Sandtown, Winchester, at the intersection where Freddie Gray was hauled into police custody on April 12th, and where this week there's a mural going up to commemorate his death and the movement for justice that it's inspired. The mural is being painted by Baltimore street artist Nether in partnership with folks in the neighborhood. It's on the side of a row house, three panels, the face of Freddie Gray in the middle, on the right, MLK and other civil rights leaders marching in Selma, and on the left, present-day protesters marching here in Baltimore.
Martin Luther King did it back in the day. We just turned around and did it now. So that's the past versus the present.
Fighting for decades.
And he's in the middle. All right now. Keep it moving. Oh, I want my picture.
You want me to get a picture of you guys in it? With
oh,
it?
Glad in the way. Yeah.
I'll do your camera for you.
Oh, he gonna do it.
I'll take a picture of you guys.
Take a picture of both of us.
Tell me what I have to. Oh, I see. I pushed the. I got you. All right, ladies, you ready? Hold on, I'm gonna get you in focus. 3, 2, 1, here we go. My name is Aaron. I work at the local public radio station up on Charles Street, WYPR. And I'm just hanging out with Nether, the guy who's making this mural, and getting reactions from folks when they have a look at this.
I love it.
Tell me what you think of it. Well, first of all, let me have you introduce yourself, if you would.
My name is Tracy. Doing the riots and everything. Me and my mother was having a discussion about it, and she was born back in Martin Luther King's era, and she was telling me that the same thing that just happened was the same thing that they did back in the day when they had to walk for freedom and all that stuff with Martin Luther King. So basically, we just reenacted what they did back in the day.
Do you think there will be a hope of lasting change in the wake of all of this?
I would like to hope that it will be, you know, but you never know. You never know. All you can do is just pray and ask God to keep strengthening us as a community and we be together as a whole. If not happen today, maybe tomorrow. Not tomorrow, one day.
What does it feel like in town for you these days? Does it feel more, do you feel more optimistic or more pessimistic in light of what's gone on in the city in the past?
Optimistic. It has to be optimistic because it wasn't just a march for us, it was a march for everybody. It wasn't just us getting killed, it's everybody. It's not just us getting picked on, it's everybody. It's not just us that gotta be dealing with police and all that. It's for everybody. They don't just harass us, they harass everybody. You know, so hopefully it will be a change for everyone. I hope so.
If you could talk to our mayor, Stephanie Rawlings Blake, what would you say to her?
First, I would say that she had a good run, you know. But we need more than that. We need more. How she handled the riot, she could have did it a lot better. She waited until it was almost nearly the end. It took for properties to get destroyed. It took for people to have to leave out of their homes and things like that for her to make a call to do something. Whereas though it should have been a call of action when it first happened. Why did it have to take for one more of us to die for us to get a resolution?
I imagine when this radio program airs, there'll be some police officers listening. What would you say to police officers who might be hearing your voice right now?
Well, not really nothing, but just do your job. Don't kill us. Do what you are supposed to do, protect and serve. Not protect and kill. Or half the time, we get scared to call the police now because we don't know whether they're going to kill us, shoot us, hurt us, and make the situation worse. So we don't even really want to deal too much with the police unless it's a have to, because we know what they do and they've been doing it for years. But it's just been so under the cover to where as though now it's being released and now the whole world knows about it. You know, so now hopefully they'll get what they deserve as well.
How about the rest of the citizens in Baltimore? What have you got to say to your fellow Baltimoreans right now?
We just got to keep the faith. We got to keep living and we can't give up. It's another ending fight. But you got to believe in something to stay sane in this world. If you walk around and you don't have a dream or if you don't have a belief, then you lost. So us as a black community, we got to keep sticking together. The same thing that happened during the riot is the same thing that's supposed to still be happening right now. And it's loving one another, taking time with one another, not burning pharmacies, burning stores that we know we're going to need later on. Now the kids want a place to run. There's nowhere to go. All the wrecks are gone. That's why our kids are dying. If the recreation centers would have still been open, wouldn't no kids would have got killed? Because everyone would have had somewhere to go. No one has anywhere to go. See, when you take things out of the black community, you mess up everything. What one person does, it affects everyone. And that's what happened.
I thank you for sharing your thoughts. I'm glad to meet you.
Oh, glad to meet you too.
Be well.
How are you doing today?
Good.
You know Nether?
Huh?
You know this guy, Nether?
No.
This is Nether.
He's guess I know him now.
Yeah, right.
How's it going?
How's it going? What's your name?
Carday.
Carday?
Yeah. Nice, man. Yeah.
You know, is this is your neighborhood?
Not too far from here.
Let me have you introduce yourself. Say your name and tell me what you're looking at here.
My name is Carday Cornish, and I'm looking at what will be kind of a memory of Freddie Gray. And I guess in the future it can be a memory of justice that was served once these cops are given their sentences and everything.
Let me share a quote with you that I heard someone tell me last week. They quoted the poet Sonia Sanchez. She said, anger ignites, but it doesn't sustain.
Mm.
What do you think is going to happen now that there's like a calm after the storm? Will things just go back to the status quo? What needs to happen for things to really change?
Systems have to change. I mean, just the way things are set up, you know, people are stuck in these situations and they just need a way out. It's just crazy that, you know, there's so many vacant houses and stuff. Like, kids don't even really have anything to look forward to right here in this community. So we have to change the way the community looks and just, I guess it'll raise kind of the standard of living once these kids feel like they come out their door and they see something better. So it gives them more hope.
Do you think this past couple of weeks in Baltimore has left you feeling more hopeful or more pessimistic?
I think it's left me more hopeful. Because just the community of people that gathered together for Monday and after Monday, not just on Monday, but even towards the cleanup efforts and stuff after Monday happened, it was one Baltimore. You know, everybody came out together and helped to get things better and helped to have that voice be heard right here in the city. You had people from the county who came in just to help give some power to the people who are unheard in these communities. So I think I'm liking the one Baltimore thing.
Thanks. I'm glad to make your acquaintance.
Thank you.
Voices from the intersection of Mount and Presbury Streets, where on April 16th, Freddie Gray was taken into police custody, and where this week, a mural is going up to commemorate his death and the movement for justice that it's inspired. The mural is being created by Baltimore street artist Nether in partnership with the family of Freddie Gray. And you can see a photo of it at our website, wypr.org/programs/signal. That's also where you can find a link to help fund future community art projects in that neighborhood, the Sandtown Winchester neighborhood. For The Signal, I'm Aaron Hinken.